Amy, we've got a bunch of little nieces and nephews between us, but we've also got a catch-all gift that all of our siblings love for their newborns.
You're totally right, and it's Pampers Swaddlers, because Pampers Swaddlers wick wetness away to keep babies drier and subsequently parents happier.
Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better versus the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex.
Now you can try Swaddlers with new Pampers-free and gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes won't tear. In fact, they grip mess, shall we say, more firmly and clean better, leaving baby skin dry, soft, and smooth.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value. Who thought it was a good idea to put a chocolate fountain at a Mother's Day brunch with every toddler around?
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood. Mother's Day kind of just shines a white hot spotlight on all the problems.
With Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson. Is it your mother-in-law's day, or is it your day, or is it kind of everybody's day at once?
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to. But my birthday, I want the town to shut down. I want a full ticker tape parade. Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Mother's Day. See what I did there, Amy? This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And this week, it's Mother's Day. We're supposed to be excited about it. We have lots of feelings about it.
We're not.
And we're here to explore all of them. It's been built up so much, right? That it's almost like nothing can live up to the expectations of what it's supposed to be. And not just for you, but for your mother and your mother-in-law too, which I think is much of the issue. And it's a lot. It's a thing and a thing.
A thing and a thing. But let's start with mailbag, Amy, because we have such a friendly one.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Time for mailbag.
Wait.
Check the mailbag.
So this mailbag is from Dana. We've been hearing from Dana a lot recently, and it's because she reaches out to us and tells us stuff. So you can always do this. info@whatfreshhellpodcast.com or on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast. So Dana said, thank you, Margaret and Amy, for your episode Decision Fatigue. This was an episode where Amy mentioned that there is no flow to go with, that what others perceive as going with the flow is actually going with somebody's well-thought-out plans being executed. Dana says, the number of adults I've explained this to and the looks of startling revelation I receive back from both men and women is staggering, especially when I go on to say that going with the flow just means you aren't actively making something harder or worse, and it is a bare minimum expectation, not a skill to be commended. This whole idea has made my spouse even more grateful for all the planning I do, and is giving me a boost of energy in making plans for the summer. Thanks for the great conversations. Dana, thank you so much.
Not surprisingly, this is going to dovetail well with our Mother's Day conversation.
Right. Everybody's going to go with the flow. Mom, why don't you just plan a day for yourself? Just plan the whole day to be what you want, and we'll go with the flow. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Yeah. Doesn't sound great, as they say.
You know, there is a history of Mother's Day. I love research, and I did a few years ago a deep dive into what is Mother's Day? Who started it? Why started it? Because you always learn things.
Who started it? Why started it? I like those questions.
Right. Why started it? There is a backstory to this you will not believe. So there was a woman, American woman. Her name was Anna Jarvis. She was born at the end of the 19th century as the 10th of 13 children, only four of whom made it to adulthood. Probably par for the course back then. Her mother died on the second Sunday of May in 1905, Anna Jarvis's mother. And she...
So she was born in the 20th century, correct?
if her mother died in 1905, then Anna had one in the 1800s.
Oh, she was, her mother died in 1905. Got it, got it. I'm following now.
And I do always get stuck on that century. Like, why is the 20th century?
Yes, the centuries.
Let's do an episode on that. Why is the 20th century the 1900s? It's very confusing.
Why do they do it that way?
I don't know. To make it more confusing. So, all right. So Anna was born in 18-something. Her mother died in 1905.
Got it. Mother died in 1905. Okay.
Yes. On the second Sunday of May, and Anna Jarvis, God bless her soul, was like, I'm going to make a national holiday to remember mothers in honor of my mother's death. So this little lady, Anna Jarvis, started sending letters to politicians and ministers and all kinds of newspapers and all kinds of people across the country. Let's make a holiday to remember mothers on the second Sunday of May. She got so into it, she rented the house next door to her so she could house all her correspondence, all the letters she was sending and getting back in a separate location. I mean, she was intense, Anna Jarvis. So she rented the house next door. She did it. So President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 wrote a declaration decreeing the second day of every May a legal holiday called Mother's Day. So that's how it started.
Let me tell you, I don't know if I'm interested, but I think this is going to really help me out on Jeopardy someday. So I'm very grateful to you, Amy. Woodrow Wilson started Mother's Day. Yeah.
Anna Jarvis. So, and by the way, here's the other questions I had is it Mother apostrophe S Day or is it Mother's apostrophe Day? Because it's like a group, it's a day for all mothers. So it should be Mother's apostrophe S. I mean, sorry, Mother's apostrophe. But then some cards have that and some cards have singular Mother apostrophe. And I didn't know which one was correct. Anna Jarvis had thoughts on this. It was singular.
But Anna Jarvis did.
Singular. She wrote in 1908, before it was even a holiday. She's like, and by the way, when this becomes a national holiday for my mother, it's going to be singular. It will always be, you honor your own mother. Anna was very clear on this. You didn't honor all mothers. It was your own mother. So this needed to be singular. And they were like, okay, okay. And they put that in the decree. Hmm. So that was Anna's intention.
This is going to come up again in our conversation. Who are we celebrating on Mother's Day?
Exactly.
Your wife or your mother?
You're going to bring receipts for this. Founder of Mother's Day, the foundress, Anna Jarvis.
We've got beef with you already.
So the holiday very quickly became an over-commercialized, you know, gotta blossom, as my own mother-in-law would say, Anna Jarvis.
God, not a gotta blossom.
That's what my mother-in-law would call, just when they became a match. She calls it a gotta blossom. I think it's a made-up word, but that's what she would say. And it's one of those.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I like her schoolmeans. I like all of her expressions.
It's a gotta blossom. A thing and a thing. It's her way. It's her thing and a thing. And I think it's more appropriate in this case. So almost immediately, people started taking liberties with this holiday and over-commercializing it. And Anna Jarvis was not having it. So she quickly noticed, like, florists in May all of a sudden started charging twice as much for carnations. And so she next tried to organize a national boycott of florists because she was so mad that they did this.
Anna Jarvis, I feel she needed a hobby. God bless her.
She had point. This was like Mother's Day was her lifelong hobby.
I guess she did have a hobby. It was creating Mother's Day and then defending it.
The American war mothers, whoever they were, you know, it was right after World War I. So they, you know, they marched with a banner that said Happy Mother's Day with an apostrophe afterwards. And she stormed their convention and interrupted speakers to say they had to fix it. And when the first person added happy, I'm not sure who it was, but it was supposed to be just Mother's Day. It wasn't happy. It was remembering your mother who, in Anna Jarvis's case, had died. There's nothing happy about it. And when the cards started to come out that said Happy Mother's Day, she sued them to have the word happy removed, unsuccessfully, as it turned out.
Unsuccessfully. Anna Jarvis. I want a 9-episode deep dive podcast on her. She sounds fascinating.
I know. Like, what was she like to have around?
She was not a ton of laughs, just based on what you've told me so far.
Yes, just so far. So you're right. She didn't like no teddy bears, no chocolate, no happy, like none of this stuff. So she set Mother's Day in motion and then spent the rest of her life trying to undo it. By 1943, which was shortly before she died, she resorted to going door to door, getting signatures on a petition that Mother's Day should be rescinded as a national holiday, shouldn't exist anymore because she was so horrified of what it had wrought. Yeah, she died bitter and unsuccessful. She did not get there.
It's like a villain's origin story. My God, amazing stuff. And she's got some very solid points. We're Team Anna Jarvis, basically.
Yeah, like if you have mixed feelings about Mother's Day being sometimes more trouble than it's worth, or sometimes... I feel like my main issue with Mother's Day is that it becomes quickly the, like, we will make you breakfast in bed for one day, which is equal payment for 364 days for nobody doing anything. Like, we'll take advantage of you for 364 days, and then you have to stay in bed one day while we bring you a raw bagel, and that's, you know, happy Mother's Day, and that's even. We're good.
Yes, there is an amazing poem that I will post a link to. It's called The Lanyard. It's about, like, the little woven plastic piece of nonsense that you make at camp.
It's like a friendship bracelet, but it's plastic, right?
And so he gifts his mom this lanyard, and he says, it's like, you gave me life, here is your lanyard. The whole poem is giving her this lanyard. And then I'm just going to read you the last stanza. It picks up from this concept. Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered. And here, I said, is the lanyard I made you at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not worth the truth, that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. And that's Mother's Day for you, too.
God, that makes me tear up, that poem.
It is. It's such a beautiful poem. You have to read it. And it, because it captures both sides of it, because it's not just a goof, you know, it's not just like a joke about it. But there is also, before we move into the like nightmare that is Mother's Day, there is something beautiful about the like crazy little handwritten card that's like, I love you. And it's like, you have given me life and I have given you a macaroni necklace. And that is the exchange that we have at this time of our life. And there is something kind of beautiful about it.
Yes, but it's the part, I guess, that I do get stuck on. And then the walking away, like, we're good, right? So we're even. And now I can tell you what an idiot you are, you know, the rest of the year. And, you know, but I did tell you to sit down while I loaded the dishwasher one day. So that's like, it's fair payment for a year of work. And nothing could be.
Yeah. And I think what the problem with Mother's Day is that it puts a white hot spotlight on some fundamental inequity problems in the way that you're talking about, which is like, I have sacrificed everything for these people who are now like, here's a kind of haphazard breakfast in bed. And everybody's trying, but maybe it ends up kind of not amazing.
Or everybody's not trying and the day goes by, you know, without really even the breakfast in bed thing. I mean, I had a Mother's Day when my kids were very young, and I mean like 4 and 2, and they didn't really acknowledge Mother's Day, and I had to explain it to my husband at the end of the day how disappointed I was. Like, but he's like, well, they're little, they don't understand. I'm like, that's right, so you whisper upstairs and you practice.
Right. But there's one person in the house who does understand.
Right. And then you bring them downstairs and they say it. You have to teach them to say it. Now, he never forgot that again. But, you know, and I'm kind of, that's going to be one of my big takeaways later. But thinking about Mother's Day, I feel like you shouldn't have to be explicit about what would make you feel loved and cared for. Everybody should just magically know. But rather than setting yourself up to be disappointed and resentful, this is maybe an occasion where you need to be explicit that you want flowers, or you want a card, or you want a heartfelt sentiment that doesn't feel like it was, you know, taken at gunpoint in a hostage situation, but really truly meant.
Correct. I have another take on this and another beef with Ms. Jarvis that we will get to after this break.
Margaret, I've got a go-to baby shower gift that I give whenever there's another newborn in my life. Can you guess what it is?
Amy, 3 guesses. First 2 don't count. It's Pampers Swaddlers.
Exactly. Pampers Swaddlers keep baby's skin dry, happy, and healthy. Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better than the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex.
Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes are 5 times stronger, gripping mess more firmly, shall we say, and making diaper changes a breeze.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Then redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value. Amy, you know me well enough to know that my daily power breakfast is toast with peanut butter on top.
Toast with peanut butter. It's also, by the way, one of my favorite power breakfasts. So we agree on that thing.
We were recently together and we shared some toast with peanut butter. And I'm going to tell you, we used Hero Bread. It adds even more protein and fiber to that combo without adding any more sugar.
Hero Bread has remade the carby, empty calorie bread products into versions that include no net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and fewer calories, plus more protein and fiber, while still being super fluffy and delicious. I was not sure that that particular combination was going to be possible, but Hero Bread has figured it out.
Yeah, this is one I'm glad they let us try. It's like, it really tastes good. I've been trying to add more protein to my diet, and I would have thought that a hamburger rolls was not the place to do that, Amy. But all of Hero Bread's products, from rolls to tortillas to croissants, we please, offer protein and fiber, 0 to 1 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar.
Start your Hero Bread bundle on their website and get 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code MOTHERHOOD at checkout.
I like this bread, people. It's HERO.CO and code MOTHERHOOD for 10% off your order of Hero Bread. So Anna Jarvis was not thinking of us when she put Mother's Day in May. And then Father's Day is June, right? I feel like they both come at times where we're so busy. Like,
right,
it's right. Sunday, you got the sports, it's graduations, there's a million things going on. You got confirmations and the first communions. All that stuff is happening in May, which is not Anna Jarvis's fault, let's be clear. She didn't see this coming. But man, it's a horrible time of year to add a kind of a fraught holiday to.
Yes, we could either move the ballet recitals and graduations, or we could move Mother's Day. Maybe we should go door to door and get signatures.
Let's rent another house for our correspondents. Let's buy another house for our correspondents. It should be like the second Tuesday of February, you know, nothing else is going on. We could all concentrate on it a little bit more.
Right. You're right. Because it lends this additional thing. Like, it also has to be a nice day so that everybody can like put their Easter stuff back on or whatever. Put on your spring finest. Yeah.
I tell you, whenever Father's Day is, I'm always like, are we doing that? I mean, I never want to do it. And I even feel that way about Mother's Day in terms of myself. Like, I don't want to do anything. I definitely don't want to go to brunch. I don't want to make a meal. I don't want to do a thing. And it does get complicated.
I'm that until the day comes and then nothing happens, right? Like, I don't want to do anything. This year on Mother's Day, I'm going to be just with one of my kids. I have 2 kids away at college and I have, and my spouse will be traveling. So it's just me and my youngest. And I said to her, like, oh, it's just you and me for Mother's Day this year. And she was like, let's go to brunch. Let's do this. I mean, she's, you know, she's the planner of the family. She is a mini me. And yeah, and I did say to her, like, nah, I don't want to do that. Restaurant, it's a hassle. And then I'm like, what am I doing? You know, and then I'll be like, poor me, when nobody acknowledges it in any way. When I told them, who cares? You can't have it both ways.
Well, I do think it's important. And something you said before the break, which resonated with me, and I had this conversation with my spouse in the early days, which was, it wasn't Mother's Day, but it was a birthday. And he was super busy and overwhelmed at work. But I ended up on my birthday having dinner in like the McDonald's play space with like 3 little kids who I was taking care of, and like nothing kind of happened. And I did put the really fine point on it of, you just don't have a lot of opportunities to say what you do matters. And this missed opportunity says what you do doesn't matter. And that's not what you're trying to say. You don't think that. But if you don't make an effort at all, that's what I hear. And so we can both acknowledge that we have, I believe on zero level that my husband is like, I don't care at all that you were born. It's not true. There's no truth to that statement. But to kind of draw the line to, if that's what I perceive, it doesn't matter what you think. If that's the message that I receive, that's what matters in this situation.
I've been thinking a lot about this year, like, okay, what will feel sufficiently meaningful to me? Because I'm saying, oh, I don't care that everybody will be away, but I must if I'm thinking about it, right? And so rather than, I hope they do something, I hope they remember, and it's occurring to me that if it's really that important to me, that rather than hope they don't let me down, to be more specific about what, this is what I want, this is what I need, this would make me feel appreciated, because then you might get it, rather than I'm preparing to be disappointed like I always am around this holiday that's taken on way too much importance.
And it's kind of fake to begin with. Like, I'm definitely not a Valentine's Day person. My husband actually bought me a Valentine's Day card this year, but I didn't buy him one. It's actually not important to me. I've never been a Valentine's Day person. I don't know. I didn't date when I was like young. And so I don't know what the rationale is, but I don't care about Valentine's Day. And I really don't care about Valentine's Day. So my husband showed up with a card and I was like, eek. You know, it's like, again, it's a Thursday. It's like, I just said we should make it a Tuesday.
You did. Now Valentine's Day is a Thursday in February.
I did. So maybe I'm catching myself, but I don't care about Valentine's Day. But I really don't. But Mother's Day, I care a little bit. And I think it is important to convey, like, but my birthday, I want, like, the town to shut down. I want a full ticker tape parade. I really, really care about my birthday.
Interesting.
And so I think it is important to voice those things because people have very different family traditions around what this looks like. And so I remember, I think my sister-in-law at some point was kind of like, you all go all out for birthday. Like, you're a birthday family. And it never occurred to me like, oh yeah, that is really big. Like, birthdays are very big for our family. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, hey, happy birthday. But, you know, like, I don't get you a card for your birthday, Amy. You know, it's like, well, if you expected one from me, you would be hurt that I didn't. You know, it's like you kind of have to kind of communicate around this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're bumping up against something we haven't talked about yet, but it's one of the hardest parts about Mother's Day is this whole your mileage may vary when it comes to how much in your family, in your partner's family, is Mother's Day actually, you know, grandma's day, your mother's day, your mother-in-law's day, right? Is it your mother-in-law's day or is it your day or is it kind of everybody's day at once?
Yeah. And again, I think we are on our theme that Mother's Day kind of just shines a white hot spotlight on all the problems. And this is a
white hot spotlight. It does.
But This is a fundamental problem of motherhood, right? That you're taking someone else's role, that you're usurping your mother and your mother-in-law's kind of place, maybe more so your mother-in-law's place for some families. And that, yes, like there's lots of conflict already built into the system around you have a child and that child, the identity is mother-child, and then that child's identity changes to spouse and parent, and you as mother kind of get left out in the cold, but then new wife is like, well, listen, it's my time to shine, and, you know, I think there's a lot of built-in conflict there. I know.
We had a poster come to our Facebook group, an anonymous poster, and she put up this dilemma, which a lot of people responded to, but I thought it was worth unpacking here. So she said, Mother's Day is still almost 3 weeks away when she posted this, and I'm over it. I would prefer not to spend a ton of money eating out. I, the poster, am tasked with finding a restaurant that I would enjoy, and so would my mother-in-law and my mom. They're all going out for a meal together. They both think my husband and I should pay for it because they are moms. Last year, we went to a brunch and paid for everyone's food at $70 a plate. I knew it was that expensive, and I therefore didn't get any drinks. My mother-in-law and mom got 3 or 4 drinks each, at which point Poster and her spouse said we couldn't actually afford to pay for the drinks. They'd have to pay for those, and they were upset. So this year, I'm not feeling it. She posted this, and people had thoughts.
Yeah, I also have thoughts.
Right. You go first.
I mean, it's just like we've added something that creates nothing but problems, you know? I mean, the whole vibe is tough. I think that it's just mismatched expectations for the whole day. And I'm a little confused by the moms who are like, why aren't you paying for drinks? I mean, if somebody said to me, I'm struggling to afford this, I think I would just let that go. And certainly, I don't know. I guess it
really sticks with me. I'm not surprised. I don't think it's your fault, anonymous poster, but it does jump out to anybody reading this that's like, wait a minute, it's Mother's Day. Why are you in charge of finding the restaurant and making the reservation that will make you and your mom and your mother-in-law happy? You're the guest of honor.
Right, but because life is the reason why. Because life.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, in that it creates more work and more hassle and more conflict for you, the day that is supposed to celebrate all that was great about you, as Anna Jarvis first imagined it, although she didn't want it to be happy. It's not easy. And I think that you can opt out. I really do think you can opt out and say, that's not my idea of a good time. I'm not doing it.
I think opting out is totally an option. And I want to get to, like, we do have sort of ideas, ways you can make this work for you. And I want to get to those. I don't recall this being, maybe it's just my family versus other families. I don't recall this being a holiday that involved like travel, you know, that involved like, well, no, we have to drive. In New York City, everybody's like packing up to take the kids to New Jersey or Philadelphia or wherever to see the grandmother, because it's Mother's Day and that's what you do. You travel a great distance and have a family meal and come back.
Yeah. See, my parents' birthdays are in May and June. And so we never did Mother's Day and Father's Day growing up because it was their birthday. So it was just kind of like maybe a card or maybe a, you know, but it wasn't like we weren't getting dressed up and going out to brunch to do any of this. I mean, we were abstainers growing up and I'm good to continue to abstain.
You know, going out to a restaurant with little kids, we all know how fraught that is. But I remember one Mother's Day, you know, we did do this. We traveled to be together for Mother's Day. We went to one of these hotel, you know, over expensive $70 a person brunch kind of thing, had a chocolate fountain and lots of kids, little children in, you know, dressy clothing were getting like covered in chocolate, like sticking their hands and like, you know, everything in the chocolate fountain. And I thought, who thought it was a good idea to put a chocolate fountain at a Mother's Day brunch with every toddler around? And who's going to clean up, right? I'm looking at all these kids with chocolate on their little button downs thinking, who's...
I mean, spoiler alert, we know who's going to clean up, Amy.
Who's spray and washing those shirts when we get home? And in what way is this celebrating? In what way is this relaxing or restful or renewing for the mother of those small children? It's not. And yet it's this like thing we all march along to because you're supposed to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea of it is a great idea. And I do think that there's probably some part of the bell curve. I mean, the other issue that we haven't talked about with Mother's Day is that Mother's Day is obviously very complicated for people who have bad mothers, absent mothers, toxic mothers.
Who aren't a mother and kind of thought they would be.
Mm-hmm. Who aren't a mother and wanted to be. A million different reasons why Mother's Day is extremely difficult. And I think that you can't have anything that works for everyone. And so is there some like part of the bell curve where it's like, okay, it's a nice opportunity to pause and reflect on your mom for a day. I think there's probably some part of the bell curve for which that's true.
Mm-hmm. That's what Anna Jarvis intended. It was a quiet, reflective, there's no balloons. There's no
balloons.
Reading cards. You sit and you remember your, I mean, it was sort of implicit in her. It's like your dead mother, right? You think about her. That's what it's for. There's nothing fun or happy about it.
I don't think that's the fat part of the bell curve, Amy.
No, I don't. She lost the script on that. I'm sorry. But
No.
But when did it become this like forced, joyful day of daffodils and dress-up clothes that, you know, marches down the street while you feel devastated inside because it doesn't match your specific life description? Right?
Amy, we've got more to unpack about Mother's Day. We'll be back after this. Amy, when I'm dehydrated, I get headaches. I get cranky and I don't feel good in general. Also, I am dehydrated a lot of the time.
Right. Because being good with the water bottle is one thing, but getting that sodium and potassium with the fluids, turns out that is the key to staying optimally hydrated. So whether you're looking to hydrate during your workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. Each box has 16 little stick packs that you can take on the go, whether you're headed to an exercise class, a night out with friends, or a podcasting conference.
And did we mention they come in delicious flavors from raspberry lemonade to cherry pomegranate? Stay hydrated with Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes. Visit sportsresearch.com and use the code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's sportsresearch.com, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate Electrolytes order.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
And now, what we really think of your Mother's Day gift.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Breakfast in bed.
It's burnt. You've used up every dish in the house and left the kitchen for me to clean up later. And when I go to finally lie down tonight, I'm going to remember that the kids spilled syrup on the sheets. How does this qualify as a gift?
Brunch at a fancy hotel.
In exchange for $200, I've gotten all the kids into presentable outfits and strapped myself into hard pants in order to try to enjoy cold eggs Benedict while several dozen children around the room scream, "These pancakes taste weird!" Upside, it almost makes breakfast in bed seem appealing.
That book of IOUs for things the kids will do for me all year long.
Don't wait until the night you try to redeem "I will load the dishwasher without complaining" to recognize this gift for what it really is. A book of lies.
Lingerie, home tools, or Meat of the Month Club membership.
These are gifts for you. You are fooling exactly no one.
A gym membership.
Absolutely no, the worst possible Mother's Day gift.
A vacuum.
Okay, no, I was wrong. That's worse than a gym membership. If you gift me a vacuum, prepare to be hit about the head and neck with the extension wand.
A mug that says, "I'm a bear in the mornings."
Seriously, people? Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and walk you through this. You will take the kids out first thing in the morning, thus allowing me to sleep in as late as I please. When I wake up, there should be a remote control and a Grubhub gift card within easy reach. When you and the kids arrive home, let's say late afternoon, you may enter the bedroom to hand me some adorable cards and move in for some brief cuddles. Then it's off with you as I complete my 9-hour Love Island marathon. Don't worry about dinner for me. I'm having cheese in bed while you feed, bathe, and put the kids down for the night. And then I'll be heading off to sleep early, so please keep it down as you vacuum and do the dishes.
This has been What We Really Think of Your Mother's Day Gifts.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Thank you.
our listeners do have some ideas for what might actually work to make Mother's Day work better for you.
Hit me.
Some different thoughts here. My first tip is to be honest about what you expect. I'm going to do that. I'm not even sure what that is. First, I need to figure out what I expect. And then I'm like, this is what I want.
Okay.
As you know, you laid out, like, this is what it's going to be, right? Sammy Joe said, this works in her house. Celebrate with our moms, meaning the grandmas, the day before Saturday, and then do something low key with just our immediate family on Sunday. Sammy Joe says, if it's nice and actual Mother's Day, just her immediate family, they go on a hike by a local waterfall and have a picnic lunch, which I would do as long as somebody else packed the picnic lunch and it was good.
No one else is packing it. Sammy Joe is packing that lunch. Let's be clear.
Yeah. And it can't be Lunchables either. Like, it has to be nice.
No, it's not nice. It's Lunchables and Sammy Joe is packing them, just to be clear.
So, which means you're going to do it, so it'll be nice.
Expectation management, people.
Right. It sounds better than a chocolate fountain, but right, only if you like, I would accept like a, you know, shipped overnight gift basket from Zingerman's or something. That might work.
I'm going to tell you, I feel I've cracked the Mother's Day code somewhat accidentally. I have a friend over. So I have a friend whose husband passed away unexpectedly. And so for the first Mother's Day, we were talking and she was saying, you know, it's going to be hard because there's no other parent to kind of even try to guide the experience. So it's like her with young kids at home. So why don't we do brunch together? And for whatever reason, my kids kind of took up the idea of like, she's coming over. And I will say my husband kind of guided it. And he and my kids serve the two of us brunch. Like, we go out on the deck and the kids serve brunch. And they got into it. You know, that it's brunch. So I sleep in. It's not breakfast in bed. We do it like 11 o'clock. And then we just hang out all day. And then the kids only job is to come out and be like, do you need anything else? And I'll be like, oh, I'll take a beer. And someone will go, you can grab it. It's fun and exciting. But they kind of get the vibe of like, you are in charge of making this nice for us. So we kind of invented it for ourselves. It's pretty low expectation. I don't even know what we usually get. Probably like sandwiches from the local, like the deli. You know, it's not fancy.
I like the idea of doing it with another family because it makes it fun. So Amy, not me, on the Facebook group also suggested making a brunch. But again, this is to the poster who's like, I don't really want to deal with figuring out a restaurant that each, my mother and mother all will like, that isn't expensive, you know, and she doesn't even want to go. So Amy said, just make a brunch and serve it at your house, which I hear, I'm like, no thanks, that's more work. But Amy says Sam's Club, Costco, mini quiches, cinnamon rolls, fruit bowl, super easy. And then Jessica chimed in to say exactly what you said, like spouse and make it like a restaurant. The spouse and kids do the serving, the cleaning up. They'll get into it. Depends on how old your kids are. But yeah, they're in charge of it. But you're still, I mean, and again, maybe that's how it is. Like, if I want my Mother's Day brunch to be nice and I don't want you to be handing me a peanut butter sandwich, then I'm going to tell you what I want, or I'm just going to order it. So it's what I want. Maybe I'm getting stuck on like, but it should be a surprise. Well, maybe not if it's what you want.
I do think that is where the disconnect comes in, and that you can say the most important part of it for me. We've talked about this with gifts at the holidays, that like, I don't want to pick it out and I don't want it to stink. And both of those things are realistic. But then, like, I know for my husband, I had to kind of walk back to the point of, that means during the year when I mention stuff, write them down in your phone. Like, keep an eye on things I need and want, you know? And you may have to start the process a little bit further back, because you should decide what's important to you and what you want. And that should be reasonable. But I think where we get a little disconnected is, I want people to know what I want. That part you can't really do.
Gina says she purchases her own Mother's Day gift. And I was like, is that a thing? Can you do that? I kind of like that idea.
And we do no gifts at Mother's Day. I don't really want a gift necessarily, but I do want, and I have said, again, a conversation I had during my marriage, I don't want anything you've purchased in the last 2 hours, and I'll know. You know, I mean, I could definitely...
No pajamagram.
No pajamagram.
Right.
Nothing. When I know you woke up at, literally, I mean, I've had the thing of my husband running in like sweaty and out of breath at 9 a.m. with clearly a bunch of crap that he just bought at the gas station.
With the nicest thing at the gas station. Yep.
And I'm like, I do not want this. I genuinely don't want this. It's almost worse than nothing.
Or the fake
One time, my God, for Mother's Day, I forgot about this. I got the like ersatz fake Native American jewelry from the airport gift store, like the one that has like teddy bears and candy bars, and then this turquoise jewelry that's not actually turquoise or jewelry, probably. And like, I know where this came from. It came from LaGuardia Terminal C at 9:45 p.m. last night.
Yeah, yeah. And we used to live in LA, and I can picture. And literally the car, like I could picture my husband in, like I could picture the pen that was in the, you know, console of the car that he found.
Right, that's almost out of ink. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost out of ink that it's like, you are the best. You do so much for our family. Like scrawled on the card from the gas station. And yeah, it's a problem. I see it from both sides because honestly, then Father's Day comes around and I'm like, oh, I got to go get the cards. I don't want to do it either.
I am totally team. Mother's Day is important and Father's Day doesn't matter because Mother's Day is important and Father's Day isn't. That makes no sense. But yeah, no, I'm like, oh, you get a card. Fine. But like Mother's Day needs to be pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
Because that's how the world makes it. Father's Day is he goes going golfs or something, takes a nap.
I get it. I get it. I see it. But I think that, yeah, you have to make it clear how important it is to you. And you're not allowed to lie. You're not allowed to be like, it's not important at all, and then be disappointed when nothing happens, unfortunately. I'm speaking to a certain co-host of mine on this podcast.
Yes, exactly.
You have to say, like, it's medium important to me, and I want you to make some effort, whatever it happens to be.
And that could look like this, right?
Yeah,
right.
It could look like this. Or it's a really hard day for me because you know my relationship with my mom is complicated. You have to verbalize what's going on with you. And so what I really want is peace and quiet, or I really want you to plan something fun. Or I think that people would argue that I keep talking about Liz Lenz's new book, An American Ex-Wife, which is kind of about how there's too much forced labor for women that is in this genre of like, I shouldn't have to tell you. But I think if you're in heterosexual relationship, particularly, you do have to say it. You do have to outline it. And you have to say, this is what does and doesn't work for me. And then you have to be careful about not making it. And I have done this and been guilty of this in my life. A bit of a like, this is the day to prove how ungrateful everyone is.
Right. I'm probably going to be disappointed. Let's see. Right, right.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of the like Gollum rubbing the my precious, like, they're all going to prove what a bunch of ingrates they are. And if that really scratches an itch for you, you can do it. But if you actually want to have a nice Mother's Day, I think giving clear expectations about what you would like it to look like early enough in advance that it is viable is a good idea.
And, you know, those expectations, you know, Gina says she purchased her own gift and then they grill out on the back deck. Somebody else said that she wants to be alone all day. I tried that 1 year. It didn't go that well. Like, I'm like, I actually want to be celebrated.
Yeah, I always think that's what I want. And then I don't really like it. I agree.
Then you don't really. Or you want it for 90 minutes, you know, but...
Yeah, it feels like everyone's having fun but you.
Right. Like the sun is out and the kids are at the park and you're like, must have fun alone. It's not exactly what I wanted the year that I thought I wanted it. So, you know, you try something else. But I do want to get to Megan because if we were going to have a... If you do want to have something we're signing and taking door-to-door, a petition. I couldn't think of the word petition for a minute. Megan says... I feel like someone needs to put out a Mother's Day PSA and explain there's major Mother's Day, which is reserved for mothers who are in the journey of active parenting right now. This is Megan. And then there's minor Mother's Day, which is moms of grown children.
I agree. I co-sign.
I think that's true. And if it's very important to your partner's mother that she be acknowledged on Mother's Day, it is a possibility that can happen, but you don't have to be part of that. Like, you can stay home and take a nap while your spouse takes the kids to see their mother for Mother's Day. Like, that's allowed. That's a thing, too, if it is a thing that's very important to the mom. And you know what? When my kids are grown, I hope I get cards and calls and acknowledgments on Mother's Day. I'll still want that. I hope I'll have perspective that, like, but the two-year-old is coughing and maybe now isn't a great time for a three-hour car ride. I hope I'll have that perspective, but maybe not.
Well, yes, and we could do a whole other episode about this fundamental truth that there's a major mother and a minor mother when you're longer into this process, and that's the problem. It highlights that, I think, for people. And I also do think that this is something that is not totally your job, although I will be reminding my husband to get his mom a Mother's Day card. Like, I know that will happen, but it is, take on what you want to take on and be clear about what your expectations are, and then expect people to live up to those expectations.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like the shortest route to having a Mother's Day that you're going to be satisfied and feel loved and appreciated by.
Agree.
You solved it.
Solved Mother's Day, people. We salute you, moms.
We see you.
We hope you have a very happy Mother's Day.
We see you major moms out there.
We see you major moms. This one's for the major moms. This shout out, major moms only.
Sleep in.
And with that, we'll talk to you next time. Happy Mother's Day to one and all.
Happy Mother's Day.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.